There are calls today for our politicians, indeed, to do more when it comes to manufacturing. And there's a call for those of us who will be on the doorstep talking to the politicians to ask them relevant questions. Let me speak to trade unionist Jimmy Kelly. Jimmy, good morning.
And good morning.
Jimmy, if a politician arrives on my doorstep, what should I be asking him or her?
Well, first of all, I suppose to state the obvious, the manufacturing sector is so critical to the Northern Ireland economy that this issue needs to be raised with the politicians. The facts are that it supports 214,000 direct and supported jobs, one in four of all jobs in the economy, contributing 9.9 billion in gross value added to the Northern Ireland economy. So it's absolutely vital that the politicians understand what needs to be done here. And we don't think it's been given sufficient priority by our political leaders. Therefore, Northern Ireland has had job loss announcements, you know, amounting to more than 2,500 manufacturing jobs just in the last 18 months. The ones that got the headlines were JTI, Michelin, Caterpillar, Shorts, Howden, Sirocco. You know, the list goes on. And one of the problems, of course, is that these positions will be lost over the next 12 months. So a lot of them don't even appear on the unemployment stats that we count here as yet. So we're also dealing with jobs which are highly paid, would have sustained at least another three jobs in the wider economy. So this amounts to a total of 10,000 jobs lost. So politicians have got to be challenged on this. What's your plans? What's your plans for investment? How are you going to deal with energy costs? How are you going to deal with skills? How are you going to deal with the sort of investment that's needed? And we're saying that we're organising two events, one Thursday of this week in Larne and Thursday next week in Ballymena, where the politicians have been invited to discuss the issue of jobs and investment, which is really crucial to the future here in Northern Ireland. We can't have young people feeling that there's no hope, no future, further announcements of job losses, and it's just sort of pretending to be business as usual. It's just not going to be tolerable.
Well, for to be successful at drawing in some of the big companies, the cut in corporation tax has to be something that's applauded, but the unions aren't applauding it.
Well, no, because we think it's really a false sort of economy. The move to lower corporation tax, sort of competing in an unwinnable race to the bottom, trying to be a global tax haven status, it just won't succeed. Benefits that we gain today will be lost tomorrow when the same companies up sticks to move to the next country, which beats our rate of tax here. You know, so the cost to our already overstretched public services, hospitals and schools, will be unbearable. It sounds lovely. Here's the sort of panacea for a bright future. We just change the rate of corporation tax, and we all live happily ever after.
Yeah, but do the unions not have to be more flexible? Because these big companies, the ones you mentioned and others, can get the work done in other parts of the world for less. So surely the unions have to play ball with the politicians, with the big employers.
Well, in terms of flexibility and in terms of going along with company plans, that cooperation is there on a daily basis on the shop floor in the workplaces where we represent workers. Unite, other unions are all dealing with that, whether it's the public or the private sector. So flexibility, changes in rosters, changes to the need for weekend working, all of those things are happening. But you can't just chase your tail. You look at the, for example, JTI, built up from the Gallagher's tobacco plant, 100 years of workers bringing that to hugely profitable. You know, profits of billions now going to Japanese Tobacco International, which took over Gallagher's plant. And now they decide to move out, not because it's unprofitable, not because the order book is empty, but because they think the race to the bottom and more profitable direction is the way for the company to go. So we're challenging companies that are prepared to abandon the workers that build up these industries. And the fantastic history of manufacturing in Northern Ireland, you know, our grandparents didn't seem to be frightened of the challenges that we needed to face up to. And the massive expansion that took place in a thriving manufacturing sector is legendary when you look at Northern Ireland. we've got to start thinking in a way that brings us the sort of job numbers that we need, the investment that we need, tackling energy costs, not leaving energy to the mercy of the market, where electricity, gas and water are subject to market forces. We've got to have our assembly and public involvement in those issues. We've got to defend workers' rights. We shouldn't have to apologise to employers that we need workers' rights. Workers are entitled to respect and dignity in the workplace. We've got to introduce a means of having adoption of the living wage. You won't get rich on the living wage, but all public sector authorities and bodies should become living wage employers. There should be legislation requiring that any contractor seeking to win public procurement would be a living wage employer. You know, we've got to start thinking in ways that respect workers. We've got to invest in the skills and education of our young people that can look towards jobs in manufacturing that we did for years. My background is in the private sector, in manufacturing. That's where, you know, apprenticeships are so vital. In Scotland, the government there has just announced a £70 million investment fund to support manufacturing. Why can't Northern Ireland have the same ambition to go in that direction?
The big issue, of course, in all of that that you're talking about when you mentioned the living wage, you disagree with what the definition of the living wage is.
Well, it's really not a massive sort of difference in costs. But it means a lot to the people that are subject to the living wage. And we've had all that low-wage economy. If that's the future, then, you know, we're even in a worse place.
Yes, but we didn't have a low-wage economy in the likes of JTI or Gallagher's. People there were well-paid, fairly paid, yep, for doing a hard day's work. But yeah, but that isn't the future. It's unlikely to be possible to draw in companies who are going to have such generous pay scales and benefits for staff.
I accept your point, Frank, in regard to JTI, and we've seen the figures. We put forward a plan which would save over 300 jobs with a centre of excellence in the plant, but it was rejected by the company. That drive for higher profits just happens whether you're on decent wages or low wages. It's just a circle that keeps going round and round. But we can, I think, look forward to the investment that's needed, bringing us to where we should be on manufacturing, bringing us to where we should be on energy costs, but also bringing us to decent wages and decent workers' rights.
And do you really think the politicians can do anything? Do you really think the people who are standing to be elected as MLAs can do anything?
Well, I think they can. And if they focus more on what's needed, if they engage more with the trade unions, we're part of the solution. We're not the enemy here. And we recently attended a meeting, a delegation from the Northern Ireland Congress of Trade Unions, representing all the unions, recently engaged with the First and Deputy First Minister. And we were outlining what we felt should be in the programme for government, facing into the election here on the 5th of May, and that we wanted them to adopt those policies. We hope that sort of engagement continues and that we'll get our agenda put into the programme for government. And as we say, workers right across Northern Ireland, whether you're in employment or in the community unemployed, you've got to see the sort of a future that gives you hope within families, a hope to have employment, decent wages. It's only looking at the ability to have a decent standard of living in the household, in the communities, but it brings us to a better future rather than workers feeling, well, unemployment is my future. And then the difficulties that young people get into if they have if they're facing into that sort of level of unemployment, they drift off into other difficult areas. We've got to bring a brighter future, and people who are facing looking for our votes for the Assembly should be confronted with our demands and build that better future that's possible.
Yes, but Jimmy, they're more likely, if the politicians are successful, to create IT jobs than manufacturing jobs.
Well, we're also arguing that, look, unless you build the manufacturing base that we need and should have and had, you're going to drift into services sector. And those are the ones that, where you correctly describe, the ones that exit at a minute's notice. I mean, you're in certain service employments, and they'll just keep racing around the globe to get cheaper labour. We're saying that the politicians can do the decent thing if they listen, if they talk to the unions, if they talk to workers' representatives. The workers in these workplaces know better than anybody what's needed to deal with the issues that are confronting them. And, if we have an expansive programme for government, the investment that's needed, we can have those jobs for our young people, and we can defend the jobs of other people who've put in a long service into their employment, but don't just get dumped onto the scrap heap with the threats that are coming within the existing manufacturing plants.
Okay, Jimmy Kelly, thank you. General Secretary of the Irish Congress of Trade Unions, calling for the incoming Northern Ireland Executive and, of course, InvestNI to put forward a comprehensive manufacturing strategy which tackles issues such as energy costs, skills development and support for investment. And Jimmy speaking to us indeed as a union representative and calling on you, all of us, me, everyone, to confront our politicians and to ask them the questions. Patricia King, of course, has been speaking and making the points that I've made reference to.